God's house this morning. It's good to see one and all. Well, welcome everybody today to the Lord's house. I'd ask Brother Johnson if he would lead some prayer at this time.
Thank you. He was there as one of the disciples. He was one of those that was hiding behind locked doors for fear of their life. They feared that the Jews might come and take them and put them on the cross as they had Jesus. And notice that Jesus didn't knock on the door. He just appeared among them. His body must have been different. It had to be different, didn't it, for him to just appear in their midst. He didn't knock on the door. No one went to the door and opened the door and said, "Oh, it's the Lord, come on in." He just appeared in their midst. So his body must have been different, yet he appeared the same. They recognized him. He still had the scars in his hands and his side. He had a different body. What did he have? He had a resurrected body. A body that had been raised from the dead. So I think that tells us that the resurrected body is going to be different. It's going to be somewhat the same, but it's going to be different. Just as Jesus' was. Our bodies in heaven, I think, will be different, yet we will be able to recognize each other, because Jesus' body was different, and the fact that he could appear in the midst of them, and they were hiding behind closed doors, yet they recognized him. He invited Thomas to feel the print of the nails in his hands and thrust his hand into his side where the spear was thrust when he hung on the cross. And yet, he was different too. Jesus' body was different. He could pass through closed doors. In the 24th chapter of Luke tells us that he was able to eat a piece of fish. That he found his disciples one day before he ascended back into heaven. He found them on the seashore. They'd gone fishing. And Peter said, "I'm going fishing." The others went with him. And Jesus came and ate with them. They built a fire and cooked fish and ate them. So his body was somewhat the same, and yet it was different. They could see the nail prints in his hands. Then he gave them a commission. He breathed the Holy Spirit on them. Now, sometimes I think we make an error in thinking that the Holy Spirit has to come like it did on the day of Pentecost. That if it doesn't really jolt us when it comes to us, that maybe it's not the Holy Spirit. But I think this, when he breathed the Holy Spirit on them, it shows that the Holy Spirit can come upon us any way that Jesus wants it to, any way that he sends. Jesus then gave them the privilege. After he breathed the Holy Spirit on them, said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And Jesus then gave them the privilege of telling new believers that their sins had been forgiven because they had accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you know, we have that privilege. We have that responsibility also to tell others about Jesus, to make sure that the lost in this world have heard the story of how Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, how God raised him from the grave on the third day, and how he ascended back into heaven, there to sit at the right-hand side of God, a mediator and intercessor for all those that have faith in him. But all these great things that went on that night, the disciples had seen the lifeless body of Jesus taken down from the cross, placed in a tomb, a stone rolled over. They'd heard the stories of Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, that they found the tomb empty and an angel there. Jesus had spoke to Mary Magdalene. They'd heard the men on the road to Emmaus talk about Jesus walking among them and sitting down and eating with them and describing the scriptures, expounding upon the scriptures to them, and how they realized that it was the Lord. They heard all these things, and they were huddled behind locked doors, fearing for their life also. And Thomas, for some reason, wasn't there. I don't know where he was. Maybe he was still off and hiding somewhere else one day, because you know, when they came, when Jesus kissed him and said, "Hail, Master," and they took Jesus prisoner, they all ran. They all ran for their lives. They scattered. And maybe Thomas was were still scattered somewhere. But Thomas was not with them. The 24th verse tells us that. It says, now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Well, the disciples did the normal thing, didn't they? They told when they did see him, when he did show up, they said, you know, we've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord. He stood among us. He talked to us. He breathed the Holy Spirit upon us. They must have been excited when they told Thomas these things. But Thomas didn't believe anything like that had happened. He said, I just can't believe. After all, Jesus had been crucified, the most terrible death that mankind has ever devised for another human being. His lifeless body had been taken down from the cross and placed in a tomb. In so many words, Thomas is saying, unless I can see him, unless I can put my finger in the nail print of his hand and thrust my hand into his side, I won't believe it. I won't believe it. It couldn't happen. It just can't be. Then a week later, the disciples, John said, were together again behind locked doors, and Thomas was with them. That's the 26th verse. A week later, it says his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came, just like he did a week before. He just came and stood in their midst and said, peace be with you. Didn't knock on the door. Didn't call out, open the door, unlock it, let me in. He just appeared in their midst. And he gave Thomas the opportunity to reach out and touch him. Put your fingers here, he said. See my hand. Reach out your hand and thrust it into my side. Said to Thomas, Thomas, you believe because you're spoken on the pages of the Bible. We can't reach out and touch Jesus and trace the nail prints in his hands, but we can reach out and touch Jesus through our faith. Faith is how we communicate with him. Faith is how we know him. Faith is how we believe, though we have not seen. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, in the first verse, it tells us that faith is a substance of things, a hope for, the evidence of things not seen. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, we're told to walk by faith, not by sight. You see, faith is not knowing what the future holds. Faith is knowing who holds the future. We don't know all that's out there. We don't know what's going to happen when we leave this church building. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next year or anything. We don't have the foresight to know that in so many things, but that we can have faith in God, that we're in his hands, that we're his children, and that through that faith he's going to take care of us. It's not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds the future, because we know God holds the future in his hands. He built this world. He put us upon it, and he's in control of it. The devil would tell us different. He'd say, oh, he can't be in control. Look at everything that's going on. Look at all the terror that's happening. Look at all the bad things that are happening. God can't be in control. The disciples and believers in Jesus, when he died on the cross, must have thought, as the world was coming down around them, their faith was hurting. It was being tested. They must have thought the devil is in control, but God's lost control. But when God raised Jesus from the dead, he shows us that he was in control then, that he's in control today, that he's always going to be in control. Not even the devil himself can change that. And finally, in the last two verses of what John writes in his 20th chapter here, tells us the secret of it all. He says we must believe. We must believe. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, you've seen me, and therefore you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. John tells us that there are many more things that could have been written about Jesus, but he said these are written that we can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing we can have eternal life in his name. If we believe, that Jesus is the Son of God, if we believe that he died on the cross to pay for our sins, if we can believe that God raised him from the dead, if we can believe that he ascended back into heaven to sit at the right-hand side of God and be an intercessor for all those who have faith in him, then Jesus can be as real to us as he was to Thomas. We can know his presence. We can feel it each and every moment. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, that's our leader come now and lead us in our closing hymn. And as we stand and sing,